Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And have you noticed those big used clothing collection bins that are popping up in more New York City neighborhoods? You can't miss them if you see them. They're pretty massive in size, sometimes colorfully painted. There was a fake one around the corner from me that was bright pink. And they typically claim that whatever you drop in the bins will be donated to charity. But they don't always tell you who's behind them. Look out for those. A couple of weeks ago, the New York Times reported that the owners of some of these bins sell the collected clothes in thrift stores or even in bulk overseas and keep the profits for themselves. They're not actually charity drops. So David Gonzalez is a reporter for the New York Times Side Street column and co-editor of the Times Lens photography blog. He wrote that article for the Times about collection bins. Hey, David, welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, how you doing?
And listeners, have you seen these? Have you been fooled by these? Do you want to say or ask anything about the charity clothing bins or those that purport to be? 212-433-WNYC. And beyond that, what do you do with your old clothes and your old shoes? Who do you donate them to, and who would you recommend donating them to? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. So, David, a new kind of scam in New York City?
I don't know if it's a new scam, but it's much more prevalent. I mean, you know, I've noticed these bins for years, and at one point I was photographing them randomly because I was curious as to the charities that were listed on it, because one of the things that is like a gray area is you have these for-profit clothing companies or used clothing companies that pay a fee to a legitimate charity, be it, you know, cerebral palsy or, you know, some cancer charity or some pediatric charity. They give them a flat fee. And so, but there has to be a sticker on the bin that says this is a for-profit operation donating a percentage of the profits to a charity. Uh-huh. And that's where, you know, it can get kind of a gray area, because the question is, how much does the charity get? Now, Charity Watch, which is a watchdog group that operates nationally, says that they doubt the charities are getting the kind of money they could get, that they only get really a small percentage, and most of this money goes to the for-profit company. Now, again, these are legit. If you go to, like, gas stations, for example, you'll see probably, like, down the hill from where I live in Riverdale is a gas station that has, you know, Cerebral Palsy Westchester as the recipient. But if you look at the sticker, it says this is a for-profit operation. The ones that have really proliferated in recent years, I mean, like, crazy, are like these pink ones or these green ones that have like very vague general wording about providing jobs, helping kids.
That's exactly the one that I saw pop up in my Inwood neighborhood. It was bright pink with bright green lettering. The wording was extremely vague.
Yeah.
And guess what? 2 weeks later, it disappeared for good.
Well, what happens is, I mean, these things, you know, I've been noticing them a lot around community gardens, around, you know, empty lots that have been turned into parking lots, for example, or just empty lots, places where you may not have a stakeholder that's going to complain and call 311. And so you get a lot of these. Now, to give you an idea of how many, we can look at figures supplied by the sanitation department. 4 years ago, the sanitation department tagged, oh, God, somewhere along the lines of maybe 100 of these things and hauled away maybe 30. This year alone, this past fiscal year, that's just completed at the end of June, they tagged over 2,000 and they hauled away more than 130.
Wow.
So, now, the problem is that they play a shell game. They get a report. They tag it. The owner has 30 days to remove it. They don't find the owner because they were saying that they would just factor in the cost of this as a cost of doing business. So they have 30 days to remove it. It will get removed, but very often, like the one that was up in Inwood, check around the corner or down the block. Because sometimes what these guys do is a shell game, and they just put it in a different location, and that resets the clock all over again.
I see. All right, we have a caller who says he's the chair of something I didn't know existed, the New York City Clothing Bin Working Group. Joseph in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay, what's this working group?
So my job is I'm the executive director of the Atlantic Avenue Business Improvement District in Borough Hill, Brooklyn Heights, Cobble Hill, and Brooklyn. We're part of the Bid Managers Association for all the business improvement districts in New York City. Now, that group, you know, we represent the neighborhoods in New York City, and we have set up a working group because this has been such a proliferation in so many neighborhoods across the city. Now, just to name a few, it's been in my own here in Borum Hill. We've seen them in Sunnyside. We've seen them in Sunset Park, Bed-Stuy. You know, this is what we thought was a small problem in our neighborhood is a huge problem all across the city. And we've been doing everything we can to get this changed. We've been working with the Commissioner of Sanitation. We've been working with our city council members who have been extremely supportive. And, the 30-day law has to change. They have to get removed immediately.
Who do you see as the victims here, Joseph?
The primary ones are the property owners and businesses who have these refrigerator-sized boxes dropped on their doorstep overnight. And then, you know, for example, in my neighborhood, a bodega owner, you know, busiest guy in the world, he gets a pink box overnight, and he has to call nonstop for 2 weeks to some privately held company to get it removed. Right. And his time is valuable. That's a complete waste of time. We should not be forced to do that. The sanitation department should be taking this away as quickly as, you know, the police department takes away an illegally parked car.
Joseph, thank you very much. And I imagine, David Gonzalez, that other victims are the actual legitimate charities that depend on donated clothing for some of their revenue. You know, you'd think of Housing Works, Goodwill, Salvation Army.
No, exactly. There are all these established groups, like you said, you know, wonderful group like Housing Works or the granddaddy of them all, Goodwill, that started these bins, actually, back in the 1940s.
Yep.
You know, they are being victimized because the well-meaning donor put something into one of these boxes thinking it's going to help the smiling ragamuffin whose picture appears on it, when actually it doesn't. And the real charities that rely on these donations, not just to raise revenue, but also to train people, because, I mean, they, you know, the people who staff these collection centers, the people who sort the clothing, you know, they are, you know, the clothing becomes part of a rehabilitation program run by these organizations, but also, you know, it helps raise funds for the organizations. They get cheated out of these funds. The thing is this: what the for-profit companies do with the clothes and what Goodwill or Salvation Army does with the clothes is exactly the same, more or less. You know, they're going to take the good stuff and resell it at a thrift shop. And then the bulk stuff will either get sent overseas, where, like, if you go to Latin America, you see these secondhand clothing stores that advertise ropa americana. That's secondhand American clothes. But it's a big business for that, exporting these clothes. I mean, in 2012, U.S. exports of used clothing was $630 million. And per pound, it's about 37 cents per pound and rising, which might explain the proliferation of these, because there is an overseas market for this used clothing. And if the prices are going up, you can make some good money putting out these bins and collecting it and people thinking it's going to charity. The thing is that the lion's share of the revenue stream for a bin operated by Goodwill or St. Vincent de Paul, that goes to the charity. Whereas with these other ones, like the ones by put out by Viltex, V-I-L-T-E-X, maybe if I mention them on the air, they'll finally call me back, out of Jersey. These are the ones that are everywhere in New York City. For what we can tell, all that money goes back to whoever is running Viltex or Narciso Clothing Corporation, Recycling Corporation, another one out of Jersey, where the woman who answers the phone number, you know, starts screaming that this is not, you know, the number, she doesn't work for them anymore. But they're still putting out bins with her number on it.
Donna in Fort Lee, you're on WNYC. Hi, Donna.
Hi, good morning. Couple of things. I do donate clothes, and when I do, I send them to primarily two places, the Vietnam Vets Donation Association. They have trucks that come by to call them to come pick up your belongings, primarily clothing. And I drop them off at my church. There's a bin similar to what you discussed. It's not bright pink or green or anything, but it's a, you know, dark-colored bin, and you can drop off the clothing at the church. And at some storage facilities, if you can't throw the stuff away, you know, in the gondola, there's a little bin there where you can donate clothing there. But there's just one other thing I want to add.
But those bins, and then you can add your other thing, but those bins are labeled, Donna. It's clear to you who owns them and where those clothes you drop would go?
Yes. And I also think, you know, my intent is, hopefully what I intend is to give this clothing to people who truly need it. And once I do that, I guess I have to release it and just kind of give it to God, in a sense. Hopefully people are doing the things that we intend them to do when we donate these items. The other thing I want to say is that with respect to the charitable organizations like Goodwill, like Salvation Army, and these places, I know personally I found challenges with getting stuff to them because they often have these restrictions about when you can get them, where you can get them, who mm-hmm. picks them up, how they're picked up. And so this could be the way these other organizations and these other people proliferate.
I think that's right, Don. I think that's such a good point.
She has a very good point because, I mean, these organizations provide the most convenient path to a consumer. So if the donor wants to get rid of something right away, these things are everywhere, and they're capitalizing on that convenience.
You don't have to wait until you can get a car out and drag it to Goodwill during their hours and all of that stuff. Janet, is that how they got you?
Yes. I don't care where it goes, and I know a lot of them are probably fake. I just want the stuff out of my house.
So if the money's going to Joe Viltex, you don't care?
I want it out.
Thank you very much. That's how they get you, David, right?
No, indeed. It's convenience. I mean, but, you know, the question is this. I mean, a good rule of thumb was told to me by the president of Goodwill that if you look at a bin and wonder, how did that get there? Chances are you don't want to put your clothes there because chances are it's one of these, as he calls them, fly-by-night, fake charities. And those are the ones that you see a lot of. I mean, what's happening now also is interesting. You know, Goodwill and others had moved away from the collection bins, but now they're moving back into it. And they're placing them in the same areas, with permission, though, where some of these others proliferate, because they realize people have to be reminded that, you know, if they see this no-name brand and they see Goodwill, they're going to just opt for Goodwill if the Goodwill box is out there. They don't think it's a particularly effective way to raise money, by the way, because they think it's much more effective if you establish a personal relationship with the donor so they come back and have a better understanding of how the funds are used. But they're having to go back to that. And I saw it. I was in Maine last week, and on the drive back in a couple of places, I saw Salvation Army boxes bins next to, like, some of these for-profit ones. Huh.
And so that's one of the tips for people, I guess, right, is read closely the labeling on them to see who they appear to be going to, as far as you could tell, and then maybe also the placement of them.
The placement's a dead giveaway. If it's like if it's by a community garden or an empty lot, and it showed up overnight, odds are this was just dropped off by one of these fly-by-night guys. But the other thing is read the label. But again, you know, even though they say they're giving a percentage to a charity, you know, good luck trying to find out how much they're actually giving to the charity that's licensed their name.
Right. So some of them,
philanthropic, you know, executives think that the charities are getting shortchanged. They could probably get more. So, you know, it's a minor thing. They wouldn't get anything at any rate. So why not get, you know, some found money, if you will, for them?
So some of them are actually directly for the charity. Some of them are for-profit companies that label at least that a portion of the proceeds will go to charity. And some of those might be in legitimate places like gas stations, right?
Right. And then you got other ones, like there's Planet Aid that you might see out there. I'm sure your listeners have seen them. Planet Aid is a 501c3. It's a nonprofit. And they claim that about 84% of the revenues raised goes to funding programs. But this is where it gets a little interesting, because an analysis by Charity Watch showed that actually only 27% of the monies raised go to programs. And their programs are like, you know, sustainability programs in the developing
and
world.
And one final thing is tax deductions. For people who want to get tax deductions for their charitable donations, actually go to Goodwill or go to your local church and they'll give you a receipt and, you know, depending on your tax bracket and what your clothes are worth.
You won't get that from one of these run-of-the-mill ones in a lot, no doubt.
I don't think so. David Gonzalez reported on the fake charity bins for the New York Times. David, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian. You take care.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.